This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Stearin, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Garrell's Auto Body in Litchfield. And by DC Waste and Recycling.
Here's Olroyd, left alone for three. She got it. Big shot. Rachel Olroyd, 4:20 to play in the ballgame. And the rebound down to Nokomis. They're not finished yet. Here comes Soder. That pass is tipped by Bates. Sydney stays at the wheels. Oh, what a play. Sydney Bates. Clock running 5 seconds. And Nokomis will give the foul with 5.2. No more fitting way than that for this game to potentially be sealed up than a defensive play by Sydney Bates. That was sensational.
Inbound pass comes into Payton. Goes back to White. He's going to spot up for a three. Off the front iron, no good. Shots up, no good from Thompson. We're going to have to put some more time on the clock. 32 minutes to not decide this one. Inbounds, it comes in to Payton. He'll stop, he'll pop. It's too long, too strong, and the Staunton Bulldogs prevail, and they win this one 53-52.
And there you have it. It was a good night of basketball at the Carlinville Holiday Basketball Tournament. Congratulations to the Carlinville Lady Cavaliers, your girls champions, and the Staunton Bulldogs in overtime knock off Hillsboro to claim the boys title. And it really was a fantastic 4 days of basketball at Carlinville. We had so many competitive games, and the championship contests were a phenomenal way to wrap up that tournament. The girls' game was incredibly low scoring, a defensive battle from the opening tip, but the Cavies prevailed there. And then Staunton was down 7 going into the fourth quarter before they stormed back on Hillsboro and got the win in overtime. The Toppers, as you just heard, had a chance to win it at the end of regulation. Drake Payton got a good look at the end of overtime, just a little bit too strong as the Bulldogs pick up the championship. At Riverton in the Lady Hawks tournament, another classic battle between Hillsboro and Auburn as the Toppers won it 53-50 as they claim another championship at the Riverton Holiday Tournament. Southwestern, the boys had a nice showing at the State Farm Classic in the small school division as they lost the field, Chris, yesterday 53-37, but then came back and beat Champaign St. Thomas More in the third place consolation 67-59. So the Piasaw Birds wind up going 2-2 in the State Farm Classic. And I tell you what, after this holiday tournament here, the county's only a couple of weeks away and we've got Southwestern strong, Staunton's looking really strong. We know North Mac is always tough. So the 100th Macoupin County Tournament is going to be a heck of a week with Southwestern, Staunton, and North Mac on the boys' side. Surely we'll be battling out for that championship. And the Bulldogs are a young, young team. They have size. They have athleticism. They have a whole lot of different weapons. Of course, Brady Kinder, their senior leader, Griffin Bianco in that junior class, and then you got the sophomore, Ethan Booth. He's 6'5", still growing. They got the Litchfield transfer, Dylan Heeman. He's 6'7". They got the freshman, Silas Cox. This kid's an absolute stud. So a lot of positives for the Staunton Bulldogs on the boys' side. And let's be honest, on the girls' side as well, as they had a nice showing. They finished in third place, did the Lady Bulldogs. They beat Bunker Hill 59-47 to take home third at Carlinville. And just for me personally, it's been really nice to see the resurgence for Staunton in both the boys and the girls, as they were both so down for a number of years. They were just getting trucked by people on a nightly basis. So it's really good to see both the Lady Dogs and the Bulldogs back, not only being competitive, they are more than competitive. They are good, solid basketball clubs this year, and they should only get better here as the season moves along. But that honestly was my big takeaway from Carlinville this week, is Staunton is back on both the boys and the girls. And it was a lot of fun to watch them compete this past week at the Carlinville Holiday Basketball Tournament. Elsewhere at Waverly yesterday in the championship game, West Central beat Athens 46-44. Concord Triopia took home third place. They beat New Berlin 65-48. In the fifth place game, Jacksonville Rout beat Springfield Lutheran 58-35. And in the consolation final, South County over Lincolnwood 38-36. And it's amazing that those two squads had anything left. Lincolnwood played four overtimes the day before. South County played a triple overtime game the day before. They came back less than 24 hours later and met up in that consolation final. There were all sorts of overtime games this holiday season. And last night in particular, we had the overtime game, of course, for our boys' championship at Carthenville, won by Staunton. You had overtime in Breeze Modern Day. Highland beat Breeze Central by 4 in OT. Muscoota and Oakville played four overtimes. Muscoota won 65-46. And the four overtimes, not even the most of the night. At Columbia, Triad and Waterloo played six overtimes. Triad won 111-106. That is not a high school final you see very often. I don't care how many overtimes you play. Six overtimes last night, and Triad wins 111-106. In Pinckneyville last night, Greenville lost twice. Benton beat them 47-32. Cisna Park then down the Comets 58-49. Roxana, they lost to Olney 61-44 and then got trucked by Pinckneyville 61-14. So this morning, right now, in the bronze pool at Pinckneyville, Greenville and Roxana are playing. So go figure, Greenville and Roxana travel down to Pinckneyville to square off at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Oy. The winner will play in ninth place at 5:30 tonight. The loser will play at 4 o'clock this afternoon for 11th place. The other two teams in that bronze pool, Trico and Alvarado, they will tip at around 10:30 this morning. In Jersey last night in the girls' championship game, Civic Memorial beat Carrollton 68-36. And, of course, CM loaded up again this year. But they had a final in that tournament that just leaves you scratching your head like, how does that happen? They beat Brussels 88-6, led 52-0 at halftime. 52-0 at halftime in a high school basketball game.
That's been confirmed?
That's been confirmed.
Yeah, ouch.
Yeah. I saw that, and I thought, no, that can't be right.
Who is that again?
Civic Memorial, who's great. Brussels, who, not so much great. You know, they're down a little bit, struggling. But I thought, oh, that can't be right. Surely they just missed a digit that's supposed to go in front of that six, yeah. You know, either a one or a two. Surely. No.
Wow.
No.
Boys or girls?
Girls. 52-0 at half.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I
don't know the details of the game. I'm not going to speculate. But we've seen stories pop up nationally about high school teams getting beat that bad, and it usually doesn't end well for the victorious team and their coach. You know, they'll get called classless, no sportsmanship, these types of things. I don't think that's what happened there.
Right.
CM is just that good. Just that good. And you can only call the dogs off so much. And I don't know what the situation was. But 88-6 and 52-0 at half. Seems a bit much.
Yeah.
Seems a bit much.
At that point, you stop shooting the threes, but that's all you can do. I mean, everything else.
I don't know. See, it's a tricky spot. It's a tricky spot because if you take your starters out,
right,
and you're playing your reserves, nobody can complain
right.
about anything.
Right.
It's where teams get themselves in trouble in those types of situations is when the starters stay in, and they're still playing the same type of style. So, you know, still pressing, still running and gunning. That's where teams can get themselves in trouble in a blowout situation. But if you take your starters out and have your reserves in, hey, they get to play too. They practice as hard and just as much as the regular. So you can't tell your reserves, oh, I know you get to play now, but oh, by the way, don't actually try to do anything. You can't do that. That's not fair to those kids.
There really isn't much you can complain about that. I mean, if it's 52-0, what else can you do?
Again, in the first half, you don't take your starters out. You just play the way you play, and that's how it goes. Once you get into the second half, that's when you have to kind of alter your strategy, so to speak. But, 52-0 at the half the other day for CM over Jersey.
Yikes. Is there a running clock in those tournament games?
Well, it's up to the tournament, but usually the tournaments will have a running clock. I know they had one at Carlinville. I don't know if they had one in Jersey or not. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing not.
What was the final?
88-6.
Oof. Probably not, then.
Probably not.
Yeah. Well, that's all the more reason. I mean, if you don't have a running clock, I mean, you have to. I mean, you can't just hold it for, like, 6 minutes.
Well, you could if you're Edwardsville years ago.
Yeah, you could, yeah.
That was, like, Edwardsville and Mike Ball. He doesn't do it as much anymore.
Four corners?
Oh, four corners. Like, in the first quarter, they would win the tap, get a bucket, get a stop, and then tuck the ball under their arm. Oh, my goodness. Even Edwardsville fans were like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on. It'd be brutal. It's a bit packed house, you know, whether like Edwardsville, Alton, Edwardsville, East St. Louis, like great historic, like, matchups. And they're out there just holding the ball.
They still do that a little bit just because I remember seeing Mark Smith highlights from last year, and it was him, you know, basically running ISO, but it was four corners. I mean, it was everybody spread out and let Mark Smith do his thing in the middle of the floor.
And it works.
Yeah.
And it works.
It does.
But, yeah, there used to be a time, though, where they wouldn't even really look to score. Like, if they didn't come out and guard you, they would literally just tuck the ball and just hold.
Interesting.
Win a lot of games that way, though.
No, this is true. This is true.
And see, that's the whole thing. If you don't like it, stop them.
Play better.
Play better. Don't let them get out in front.
Yeah. Do you think, and maybe this is perhaps a discussion for another day, but do you think high school basketball should institute a shot clock?
Well, some states have a shot clock. It's a state-by-state thing, and some states do have a shot clock.
Illinois high school should institute one?
I don't know. I could go either way on the shot clock. I think the shot clock has more of a benefit for bigger schools.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, like a shot clock, like at the schools we cover for the smaller schools, I don't see how that would necessarily be beneficial or improve the game necessarily. But when you get into some of these high-level games where you've got, like, the elite programs in the state, you could see where a shot clock could be a benefit then. But I don't see it happening because you have to think, too, that's extra expense. Like, for a lot of these schools who are struggling with their budgets and finances anyway to have their sports programs, you're going to have to buy the shot clock. You're going to have to keep the shot clock operational. You're going to have to pay someone to run the shot clock.
Yeah. It's also basically shortening how your offense runs, too, because, you know, you may have a play that goes on and on and on and on and on, but if you only have a 30-second shot clock if they would institute it at a high school level or 35?
30 or 35, I don't know. They would be able to choose.
I mean, there's only so much you can do in 35 seconds.
Right. Which is, you know, you hear people, like the national recruiting people, they make it sound like you're playing, like, with a coconut and a peach rim if you don't have a shot clock, you know? Yeah. It's like, it's just terrible. Like, this is the worst thing ever. It's like, no.
What are these conditions?
It's not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, to answer your question, I don't think it would happen, but it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Yeah.
It's probably
happened.
A better discussion for another day, so. I think Darren Deneve has has chosen a side on that. I believe I saw on Twitter one day he posted an article about it. I don't remember what side he was on, but.
So he came from McMurray.
Yeah.
The college level. So he's used to a shot clock.
Yeah.
And it's funny.
Hoping to get a hold of him.
We'll try. When he was at McMurray, they had one of the highest scoring teams in the country. And this is what coaching is all about. You have to be able to adapt to personnel and situations. So he's coaching the boys at McMurray, obviously high-level college where you're getting up and down the floor, running and gunning. Well, he gets to Carlinville, takes over the girls program. You can't play that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to work. So he has turned the Carlinville Lady Cavaliers really into a defensive style of program. If you think back to Carlinville's great teams under Darren, it's all about the defense. I mean, it is hard to get over 30 points when Carlinville is locked in. They've won many a games just being the first team to 30. Now, last night, no one got to 30. 27-22 was the final. But the point is, Carlinville is comfortable playing that way. Right. They have no, you know, when the score's low, they feel right at home because they are locking you down defensively. But that's the sign to me of a coach. When you can play one way at one place and then go somewhere else completely, I mean, let's be honest.
Adapt.
There's a big difference between college men and high school girls.
Oh, yeah.
That's not breaking news.
Isn't
it? I don't think so. I don't think I'm breaking any news there.
It's shocking.
It is. But I don't think there's necessarily a lot of coaches who could go from coaching college men and then transition into high school girls and have the type of success that Darren has had.
No, this is true.
At a small public school.
Yeah. It's all about evolving and adapting.
Have to evolve and adapt. No matter you, and you hear the high level coaches, you know, Krzyzewski talks about it, Roy Williams and Bill Self, all the high level collegiate coaches. We'll talk about it. When you're a coach, no matter the level, you never know it all. Right. There's always something to be learned from some other coach, some other team, or just a different situation. Always learning. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106.1. But before we get back to that, I do want to say that last radar weather check was brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro, home of the Big Porky. I kind of gypped him out of it.
Don't forget the Big Porky.
Oh, that's right. Delicious stuff.
Oh, the delicious Big Porky.
And absolutely right now is the perfect time to go out and buy yourself a Big Porky and go out and grill it. Grill it out.
Go out and grill it.
Go out
and
grill it out.
Outside?
Of course.
Oh.
How else are you going to stay warm?
Everyone gather around the charcoal grill.
That's right. Absolutely. Shouldn't have any problem starting a fire in this weather.
You know who loves Big Porkies?
Terry Tote.
Terry Tote. Absolutely loves Big Porkies. And Terry is getting close to returning in some capacity here to the radio station. He's going to be at Nokomis on January 6th. Next Saturday, they're going to be honoring Nokomis's back-to-back state championship teams when Staunton comes into town. It'll be a heck of a ball game. Going to have a ceremony. Terry's going to be involved in that. So Terry Tote will be at Nokomis next Saturday night, January 6th, for the Staunton-Nokomis game. We're going to broadcast it. I don't know if Terry will be up to doing the entire broadcast, but I have an inkling, David, that we will have him on the microphone for at least some portion of that ball game. He says, I think, the way I understood, he's going to come out to the station maybe next week, do a little bit of work. So that is just fantastic. It sounds like Terry is getting better every day. So that is what we want.
That's what I heard.
So
I think the rumor might be true. As of right now, it'll obviously depend on how he's feeling this week. So yeah.
Right. But he's, you know, had a lot of people ask me this week at the Carlinville Holiday Tournament how Terry was doing, and the answer was just he's getting better every day. It's just a long, slow process, but T is getting back, and he is going to be back on these airwaves sooner than later. And, boy, we all cannot wait for that day. That's going to be a happy day.
Absolutely.
Coming up tonight, the Williamsville Holiday Tournament is not over. They will wrap up tonight. Their championship game at 7 has Williamsville taking on Peoria Quest. The third-place game at 5:30 will pit Deer Creek Mackinac against Porta. The fifth place game at 3:30 has Plains taking on Beardstown. And in the consolation final at Williamsville today, it'll be Warrensburg-Latham against Tolono Unity. This is WSMI Sports Saturday, the final Saturday in 2017. That is just hard to imagine how fast this year went by. And I have found myself the last couple of weeks. When high school football is over, I'm normally decompressed and ready for it to go away until it returns again. But something, just the last couple weeks, I've just been thinking about high school football. I don't know why. I have better things to think about, but I have had that on my mind the last few weeks. Now, I tell you what Troy Redfern has had on his mind the last week is trying to claim that Carlinville Holiday Basketball Championship. And, Troy, you got it done last night. What was that bus ride like back to Staunton?
Cold. But it was great, you know. I was just tired, you know. It was kind of a draining game mentally, but we were, you know, the kids were pretty much ecstatic, and I don't know, just a good feeling, you know, especially when last few years haven't been so great. So,
and Troy, that's exactly it right there. Staunton has been down. They've had some low moments here the last couple of years, but to get that win last night is fantastic. And I was really happy for Brady Kinder and that junior class because they took the brunt of these last couple of years.
Yeah, I think Brady and Andrew Novak both. I mean, even when they were freshmen, they struggled too. So, you know, they're very happy. And everyone else is, there's some excitement, you know, it's a long season and we've had our ups and downs already within the first 11 games, but we won 4 out of 5 and that's a good thing. And, you know, with a young team, even an experienced team, you're going to get ups and downs, but with a young team, you see that a little bit more early. So hopefully we can, you know, level it out a little bit. But you know, it was an exciting game last night, no doubt.
Troy, I think in a way you kind of saw this success this year coming. I remember talking to you last year late, and you said, we got some talent coming. We're going to be okay.
Yeah, you know, you could sort of sense it. And sometimes it takes a while. I told the kids last year, because we literally, we won three games. We had chances in eight, you know, and the rest of the games were not close. And I said, sometimes you got to go through the hard times to experience the good times. And that's sometimes the way it is in sports. And, you know, when Dylan transferred, that really helped. And then, you know, Cy Cox was an incoming freshman, and, he's a player. And, and then our younger guys have developed well. And, you know, it's really good to see, like in the summer, we had pretty much 95%, sometimes 100% every day showing up. So they wanted to get better, and they bought into working harder to improve. So that's always fun to see that.
Was there anything specific this summer that you were focusing on, or was it more just kind of a broad stroke, everybody just needs to improve?
We did a lot of skill work. Individual skill work. That's I learned a long time ago that in the hard way, you know, when you first start off, back when I was in my 20s, I thought, oh, it's all about X's and O's, all about X's and O's. And it's not. It's about skill development. And so we did a ton of skill development. And, you know, we played a couple of tournaments, but, More so just working together, trying to learn some stuff that we wanted to run, and definitely the emphasis was on just, you know, individual development.
And Troy, you got experience, but yet you're a young team as well, so I would imagine you've still got growth that can be attained this year for this club.
Well, I hope so. I think so. I mean, you've got some guys that I think are rapidly improving. On the radio, you mentioned like Devin Ray last night. Devin Ray hit big shots the whole tournament. And, you know, he's just a sophomore. And Cy, I thought, under a lot of pressure last night, really did a nice job handling their pressure. And he's just a freshman. And then, of course, our big kid, Ethan Booth. I did the stats this morning. And I think he had like six blocks, 10 points, 7, 8, 9, 10 rebounds, something like that. So yes, we have a lot of improvement, hopefully, with those young guys. And, you know, even our juniors, you know, they're getting better. I mean, you know, it's like Dylan Beeman's starting to get real consistent. And I think that's what you want is consistency. And hopefully, we can, you know, we're going to still have ups and downs, just like every team does, but I think we're starting to turn the corner a little bit.
And that game last night, your size and athleticism really was a huge factor in the game because Hillsborough is so big and beefy on the inside. But the Bulldogs have something that a lot of times you don't see around here, multiple guys over 6'5".
Yeah, I thought that was the key because Hillsborough's inside game had hurt the opponents earlier in the tournament, and we made that. We really tried to emphasize try to get those guys off the board, and I thought our inside players did a great job of standing their ground and, you know, really blocking a combined 10 shots, I believe it was. So that was a huge key. And you know, the number 11, White, I believe his name is, number 11, and he's a good shooter. We knew, you know, when you play zone, you're going to give up some outside shots. And then, of course, Drake Bay is a really good player. And, you know, he got his too. So but I think we shut down the inside game. I thought that was the key.
Sounds good. Troy, congratulations on the championship. It was a fantastic ball game, and best of luck the rest of the season, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Troy Redfern, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs. They won the Carthenville Holiday Tournament Championship last night over Hillsboro in overtime, 53-52. And the Bulldogs are going to be around for a little while. They got a lot of young talent. And we're happy to be joined on the phone right now by the head coach of the girls' champions, Darren Deneve of the Carthenville Lady Cavaliers. Good morning, coach.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Doing very well. Well, you've had some time here to process the championship, and anytime you win a tournament, boy, that's a good feeling.
It is. There's no doubt about it. There's something special about winning a tournament and winning a championship, having a good week, you know, and I'm happy for our players for sure.
And obviously the championship game last night was a low-scoring game, but I think back to your first game of the tournament, Darren, when you played Greenfield Northwestern. You were down 14 points at the half. You come back with one of the best quarters anyone had in the tournament in that third quarter, and you wind up getting the win. And obviously if you don't win that game, you probably don't win the tournament. But at the time when that was going on, take us kind of through your thought process from the time you walked out of the locker room down 14 at the half through that second half against Greenfield.
Well, it was just a matter of we needed a sense of urgency about it. Obviously, you're down 14, and we're able to play a few different ways. Sometimes we can play slow. Every now and then, depends on the matchup, we're able to press people. And then that particular situation, we were able to put a press on Greenfield. They had a little foul trouble, and that to our advantage as well. And you know, it's funny sometimes if you're ahead or if the game is even and you decide to press, sometimes you don't necessarily always play like you have nothing to lose, but sometimes when you're down and you have to press, you know, you have a sense of urgency and you play like I said you have nothing to lose, and that's when sometimes your press will be most beneficial.
Darren, I talked earlier in the show about, you know, you started, you know, you coached men's at McMurray. We're one of the highest scoring teams in the nation. You come to Carthenville, take over the girls program, and you turn into really kind of a defensive juggernaut to where you guys are just hard to score on. Just talk about, from a coaching perspective, the ability to adapt and completely change. I mean, obviously college men and high school girls are not the same, but you're playing two incredibly different ways, and you have to coach differently. Just talk a little bit about the evolution of a coach going from one to the other.
Well, I don't know. The trick, I guess, is to recognize what your personnel is and how to best utilize your personnel. You know, you can talk X's and O's all day long, but at the end of the day, it's really whether, you know, your players, you can put them in a position to do well, and that's what coaching is, and a matter of getting people to come together and work hard. And you know, that's just something that we try to do. I don't know. I'm sure there might be a time when all of a sudden we're playing fast again here in Carthenville, and if we have the players to do that, then that's what we'll do. It's just a matter of, I don't know, trying to figure out the best way for your team to win, and so we try to do that, and sometimes we're successful and sometimes we're not.
Well, that's what coaching is, putting your players in the best position to win. And Darren, I thought that this holiday tournament was one of the best we've had at Carthenville in a number of years. So many competitive games, and a lot of them came right down to it.
Absolutely. You know, we on both sides, it was pretty balanced. You know, we had games in the boys and the girls with you know, like you say, a lot of close games. And on the girl side in particular, you know, there was really, heck, the number seven seed gave the two seed a great game, gave the three seed a great game. You know, we were the five, and we had some close games with the four and the one and the three. And there was just a lot of balance, and when there's a lot of balance, it makes for good entertainment.
Absolutely. Good crowds this year.
Yeah, we were pleased with the crowds, and we certainly appreciate the support of all the local towns and local folks to come on out and enjoy some basketball. It's we've talked about it before. It's a truly unique event, our tournament with the boys and the girls. I'm not ready to say we're the only ones doing it, but I've honestly never heard of anyone else doing it. So we might be the only ones doing it where there's a boys and a girls tournament at the same venue. And so we certainly appreciate all the fans, and it's nice to do well in your own tournament. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Darren, congratulations on the championship last night, and once again, congratulations on another fantastic tournament that you guys ran at Carlinville.
Appreciate you, Tim, and we certainly appreciate the support of WSMI. If Terry's out there listening, I'd like to say hi to Terry. And anyway, thank you very much for your coverage and your support.
Oh, you're welcome, Darren. Have a happy new year, my friend.
You too. Thank you.
Darren Deneve, the head coach and athletic director at Carlinville, as the Lady Cavaliers won the championship last night over Nokomis 27-22. And we heard from the boys' champion head coach, Troy Redfern of Staunton, as they beat Hillsborough in overtime 53-52. We're going to make connections here with Litchfield head coach Drew Logan, also Lady Hilltopper head coach Brett Teakin, both coming up here on WSMI Sports Saturday. The Litchfield Purple Panthers had a great tournament at Carlinville. They took home third place, beat the Cavies 53-44. Their only loss in the tournament was a hard-fought, tooth-and-nail game to Hillsborough in the semifinals. And in the process, Litchfield surpassed their win total from all of last year in the tournament this year. Well done for the Purple Panthers. The Lady Hilltoppers of Hillsborough picked up another championship at Riverton in the Lady Hawks Holiday Tournament. A hard-fought affair last night. They beat Auburn 53-50. And Brett Teakin joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Teak.
Good morning.
Well, talk to us about that game last night. I know it was wild and woolly down the stretch.
It was a pretty typical Auburn-Hillsborough game over the last few years. It was, the team had more than a five-point lead at any point in time, and we got a little bit of a lead in the fourth quarter and basically was just kind of able to hang on with Sammy hitting some big free throws down the stretch.
You know, Teak, sometimes rivalries are born out of geography, and sometimes they're just born out of two good teams consistently meeting multiple times over the course of several years, and that's exactly what has happened with Hillsborough and Auburn. This is fantastic.
Yeah, and every game that we played has generally had a lot in line. We did play a regular season game for the first time a couple weeks ago, but every other one has been in a tournament semifinal to get to the finals or a championship of a regional or something. So they've all had a lot at stake, and they've all been very close games. So, yeah, rivalry has kind of developed, and they've all been good, tight games. And luckily, we've been able to fortunately come out on the upper end more often than not.
Yeah, they got you in that regular season game earlier this year. Did you learn anything from that game that you were able to apply last night?
Well, I think the players learned more than I did. They learned a little bit more of against a good 1-2-2 press, how to be patient, to break the press, and things like that. And whenever they gain that experience, it helps them down the road a great deal.
It was a great tournament for you guys. Of course, on your first day of pool play, you played two games. Sammy had 36 points in the first game, and then Aubrey Rupert wins the second game for you. Talk about how happy that made you.
Oh, that was great to see. Aubrey, she felt a little uncomfortable in the first game. She wasn't shooting the ball real well, and then in the second game, some shots started falling, and we had a couple of, I guess, without being too critical, questionable calls down the stretch that put the ball in their hands with 12 seconds left in a tie game. And Aubrey saw an opportunity to jump into a lane and stole the ball and took it the other way to score with about 3 seconds left.
Teak, you guys have played such a tough schedule early that, you know, if you just look at the record and don't recognize who you've played, you think, oh, Hillsborough, they have a few more losses than I thought they might. But the schedule you have played is a direct result of that. And do you think that you win this tournament without that schedule you played earlier in the year?
No, I don't think so. The schedule, I mean, Taylorville made their tournament much tougher by adding Bethalto and Rochester to it. We made our schedule tougher whenever you add Auburn and Modern Day to it. Mm-hmm. And we lost probably a couple games in there that we definitely shouldn't have lost. But we were having a tough game every night out, it seemed like. And it just built some character. And the young ladies improved from it. And right before Christmas, we all kind of talked a little bit. it's time to set the reset button and come out and play the way we're capable of. And the girls really took that to heart, and they did that.
See, I don't know if this is true or not, but just from the outside looking in, of course, Sammy is seasoned. She's been there since her freshman year. But for a lot of these other kids, this was really their first major varsity exposure. So sometimes it just takes a little bit of time to get worked in to a varsity routine.
Yeah, with inexperience, you get inconsistencies a lot of times. And we've had some sophomores that have had some great games, and but then a lot of times they'll follow that up with not such a great game. And inexperienced players tend to be a little bit turnover prone. So we've been going through those growing pains a little bit at times, and I think everybody just kind of expected, oh, they're going to be right back where they were. And it's taken a little bit more. And in the tournament here, we've had a little bit of infusion of youth, too, that has helped us out, and that is Claire Tester, a freshman, has gotten some playing time at the varsity level and kind of brought us a spark, too.
You just keep bringing them up, Teak.
Sometimes that's what you got to do.
It seems to me that this tournament championship could spring you guys to a nice, successful second part of your season. What are you looking for out of your club? Not necessarily wins and losses, but in terms of the way they need to play, the little things they need to do the rest of the year to be successful.
Well, one of the keys that's been for us, and I think last night might have been the first time all year we had done this, maybe once or twice, but we out-rebounded Auburn last night, and with them having Cat Clark and for us to out-rebound them, that was huge part of that game. And I think the players are starting to realize how important that is. And we played better defense at Riverton than we had up to this point also. And yeah, we were kind of talking last night that it's kind of a springboard into our second half. And hopefully we just maintain it and build from here. And I think the young ladies have kind of learned a little bit from it.
Sounds great. T, congratulations on the championship last night, and best of luck the rest of the way, sir.
All right. Thank you for everything you guys do, and let's see you back soon, Terry.
Absolutely. Teak, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Brett Teakin, the head coach of the Hillsboro Lady Hilltoppers, as they are victorious last night in the championship game over Auburn, 53-50. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we'll talk with Litchfield head coach Drew Logan when Sports Saturday returns.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
All right, thank you very much, David Jenkins. We're going to catch up with Litchfield head coach Drew Logan here in just a moment. His Purple Panthers coming off of a very nice showing at Carlinville, where they finished third. And I was just giving David a little grief when he was doing his weather forecast. 10 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm glad to know we're going by Fahrenheit now in America in 2017. Just, it made me laugh. Hey, the Collinsville Holiday Classic continues today. Their championship game at 7:30. Collinsville against Springfield Southeast. The third place game at 6 has Lincoln against MacArthur. The fifth place game at 1:30 will pit Edwardsville against Quincy. And in the seventh place game at noon, it'll be East St. Louis against Oakville, Missouri. That's one of the premier big school holiday tournaments in the entire state of Illinois, and they will wrap up their tournament tonight with their championship game between Collinsville and Springfield Southeast. Well, last night in Carlinville, the Litchfield Purple Panthers finished off a 3-1 week as they beat Carlinville 53-44 and took home third place, and we're happy to be joined now on the phone by the Panther head coach Drew Logan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Well, I would imagine, Drew, that you have to be very happy with the way that your kids competed and performed this week at Carlinville.
Yeah, we went into the tournament as a coaching staff and kind of discussed where we had hoped to end up, and we realistically had hoped to end up 2-2. We told the kids that last night after the game in Carlinville, and as we told them, feel like we're growing, we're getting better, we're competing, we're still not quite putting together a 32-minute game, but we're getting a lot closer than we were earlier in the year.
And I thought that even though the one game you lost against Hillsboro, in some ways, was your most impressive outing of the tournament, to me at least.
To be honest, as we kind of talked after the game and just reflecting on the tournament, most of us felt like that was probably the best game we've played in 2 years.
Wow.
The kids battled. Obviously we know that we know what Hillsboro has. We kind of know what they're going to bring to the table, just, being so familiar with them. And, our kids battled and competed. And like we, we told them after the game, if we can bring that to the table every single night, I think we can surprise some people in the second half of the year.
And they must have taken it to heart, Drew, because sometimes when you lose a tough game like that and you have to come back the next day and play for third place, sometimes you're flat. You were not yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We, you know, and that was something we stressed right after the game, that, you know, we had stressed before that game, obviously, that each game is the most important game you play. Like, you have to look at it that way. Every time you step out on the floor, that has to be the most important game. You can't reflect on the game before, and you can't look at the game ahead. So, you know, and we had some moments yesterday in the second half where we obviously kind of lost sight of what we needed to do. But the big thing that I've noticed that a huge difference with this group this year is when we start struggling. Last year we might have just continued to struggle and kind of quit, and this year we're able to battle back when we have those moments where things aren't going our way.
We were talking about that a little bit earlier this week in Carlinville. The first two games, you were down double digits or right around double digits early, but yet your kids fought back and battled. And as a coach, that has to make you just very, very happy.
Yeah, and you know, everybody knows basketball is a game of runs. I mean, it's a matter of, you know, how long can you extend your runs and how quickly can you shut down the runs the other team makes. And I think both games, we were actually down 9 in the first quarter. Battled back and led at halftime of both games. And, you know, we stressed before the Hillsboro game, like, we can't do the same thing we did the first 2 days. And we had our deficits in that game, but, you know, I was proud that we battled back. We took a lead in the fourth quarter and just couldn't quite finish it out. And then yesterday, you know, we had a 12-point lead, I think, and it dwindled down. And, you know, the kids just kept battling, and that's what we've been trying to get out of them for 2 years. And I think they're starting to understand it's hard. You know, playing basketball is hard. Playing a sport is hard, and battling through adversity is hard.
We've seen it with Staunton. They were down the last couple of years and have really rebounded this year. And I'm not saying you guys are on the same level as Staunton, but from the aspect of where you guys were and where you are now with basically the same group of kids from a year ago, that's what high school athletics is all about, the improvement from year to year.
Yeah, and when these guys were majority of the seniors, when they were sophomores, obviously we had a couple guys that were freshmen at that time. We started talking to them in January, February of that year about it being a 2-year process and that we had to really focus and last year not focus on the win and loss column, but focus on trying to get better. We lost sight of that a few times last year. And, you know, it's hard when you're not seeing the results mm-hmm. to stay focused, but we really stressed it again last summer. And one of the things I said at the very beginning of the year, I mean, there's no excuses now. You're seniors, you have experience. So nobody can say, well, these guys didn't play last year. You know, everybody played the whole, you know, most of every game last year. So now it's time to, you know, see what that last year, those growing pains can, you know, benefit us this year. And so far they've helped in certain areas.
What are the things that the Panthers need to do the rest of the year to keep this momentum going?
I would say the biggest thing for us is just executing the game plan for the you know, the majority game. You're not going to do it the entire game, but one of the big things that, you know, we stress is from the defensive standpoint is, I mean, it's, you know, you have to defend, you have to rebound, and we struggled, I think, rebounding probably the most in the tournament. You know, we're not blessed with a lot of size, but I think we can do a better job at that. And then just consistently doing what we're asking them to do, and I think I think we're still a long way from being one of the top teams in the area, but I think we're much closer than we were last year.
And you know, Drew, you mentioned you may not have a lot of size, but what you lack in size, you make up for in grit.
Yeah, we've got, I mean, you know, and I've been talking about it this week, but, you know, we've got kids like Chase Lauderdale who, you know, struggles a little bit on the offensive end, but man, he gives me everything he's got every night. And Billy Beckham was the one that came in and just didn't floor me this week, but just really stepped up to the plate when we needed him, when we got in foul trouble. Obviously we know what we're going to get most nights out of Cam and Sam Painter and Dre, but we had some of those other guys really step up and play huge minutes. And that's when you're playing in a tournament, you know, 4 games in 4 days, you got to have some of those other guys really step up.
Absolutely. Drew, congratulations on a really good showing at Carlinville this week, and best of luck to you the rest of the way, sir.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Drew Logan, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, as they go 3-1 in Carlinville and take home third place. Well, there we go.
I've got a score update, by the way, from Pinckneyville.
Yes?
Greenville leading Roxana 21-6 at half.
21-6?
In the bronze bracket.
All right.
So, yeah.
That's very good. So if the Comets can maintain that, they will play for ninth place at 5:30 tonight. Either way, it's a long day in Pinckneyville for the Greenville Comets.
No, that's right. They will play the winner of, if the Greenville wins, they'll play the winner of Trico and, it says Alvarado, but.
Yeah.
Is that right? It's not El Dorado? It's Alvarado?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I've never heard of it.
I haven't either.
Okay.
If it's a misprint, everywhere, because that's how I've seen it.
Okay.
Posted everywhere.
I'll believe it. I'm reading it here for the first time and it caught me off guard. Okay. I stand corrected.
Long way to go to get to 88-6, though.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to shut Roxana out and have a heck of an offensive second half.
Yes. Hey, we got Fighting Illini basketball coming up today. They are taking on Grand Canyon live at 2 with the pregame 3 o'clock tip from the State Farm Center in Champaign. As Illinois, a week removed from their bragging rights win over Missouri, and best win of the year.
It is, yeah. They had a week off before the game. They've got a week off afterwards as they play for the first time today since last Saturday. You know, there was a lot of hype going into that game. Mizzou was, I think, a 4-point favorite, and Illinois ended up winning by 4.
And what Illinois did in the first half of the Bragg and Rice game, that's the potential. That's what gets people very excited, not only about the freshman class, but about the Illini basketball team as a whole. It's there.
It absolutely is. I mean, their guard play is phenomenal. Trent Frazier continues to improve. I mean, he wasn't bad to start the year, but he wasn't playing a ton, and he continues to be one of their best players down the stretch. I mean, he's phenomenal.
And elite freshmen like the Illini have, they're going to get noticeably better from the start of the year throughout the season. And as they get ready to roll into Big Ten play or return to Big Ten play in January, I think they've learned a lot. I think they learned a lot from the two conference losses in overtime to start Big Ten play a few weeks ago. And I think going into the Bragging Rights game and doing what they did, now the second half was not pretty, but they were able to hold on and get that win. I just feel like Illinois is ready to maybe make a push that we didn't think they were capable of making three weeks ago.
They've still struggled to put a full 40-minute game together. They do have to learn how to finish games, because they've had these games where they've either started off poorly and come back and taken the lead and then blown it, or they started off great, blew the lead and couldn't recover. So they'll have to learn to finish games still, but it's still early enough where we'll find out in the conference season really what they're made of. And their next couple of games are on the road. I think Iowa and conference games, that is, right. Iowa and Michigan, I want to say.
And they got Minnesota early in the Big Ten slate too.
Yeah. So they got a tough, I think 4 of 5 of these next conference games are it's really tough opponents, and most of them are on the road.
But like we said, with a young team, they're going to get better. Yeah. They do have to learn how to win, as all young teams have to do, and Illinois, it looks like, has started the process. And they're just fun to watch. Like,
they are.
The Underwood style is entertaining. If nothing else, it is entertaining.
Well, I read something that was really, really interesting, and it has to do with Belleville West's E.J. Liddell, who's one of the top recruits of 2019, so he's still a junior. He was at the Bragging Rights game, and it was important to see how big a game LaRon Black had, because they're similar style, similar size. LaRon Black's 6'7", but a post player. E.J. Liddell's not a big post guy. He's a wide body, but he's only, like, I think 6'7" right now, so he's not incredibly tall. But he had a heck of a game and abused the post players for Mizzou. So it was important that he was there watching that and watching what Underwood can do with a player like LaRon Black, who's also would be a player like E.J. Liddell.
It just feels to me like something has turned here with Underwood in terms of recruiting the state. It's something Illinois has really struggled with mightily, really for quite some time, a good number of years now. But it just seems to have a different feel to it right now, that the top players now in this great state are saying, you know what? Champaign's where I want to be.
No, absolutely. You know, staying home or close to home might have something to do with it, and I think they see the improvement there, possibly.
There's potential for the Illini to become a national right. power again in short time.
And if you're good enough to be like a one and done and be a lottery pick in the NBA, Ben Simmons has proven it doesn't really matter where you're playing your school ball at.
Right. No, that's exactly right.
If you want to stay home, just stay home.
Illini Grand Canyon today, 2 o'clock. On 105.3 The Ox. Sports Saturday is done for 2017. Thanks to all of our coaches who joined us today. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. Have a safe and happy new year. We'll talk to you in 2018.